Our first reading this evening, the Old Testament lesson, is from Deuteronomy chapter 30. We begin reading in the 15th verse. And Moses said to them, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering into to take possession of. But if in your heart you turn away, you will not hear, but be drawn away to worship other gods and to serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him, for he is your life and your length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm tonight, found in your bulletin, is Psalm 119. We'll read responsively verses 1 through 8. "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, whose walk is in the law of the Lord.
Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways.
You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently.
Oh, that my ways be steadfast in keeping your statutes.
Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments.
I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules.
I will keep your statutes.
Do not utterly forsake me."
Our New Testament reading tonight is 1 Corinthians. We begin reading in the first verse of chapter 3. "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, you are of the flesh, and behaving only in a human way, are you not? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not merely being human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants, through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise as we sing the Alleluia.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? Alleluia, you are the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our Lord Jesus speaking said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I invite our young people to come up and join me. Good evening. I always start with good morning, but it doesn't work here, does it? So I'll try it again. Good evening.
Good evening.
Well done. Would you believe me if I said I'm Pastor Dave?
No.
Well, actually, David is my middle name. But I'm not Pastor David Stephenson, am I? No. You know that and I know that. But there's always a question of who am I? It's something we face as we get older. We're growing up. You all are changing fast. I just noticed how tall you were, Nora. Who am I? And our gospel talks about some part of that. Everyone who lives like Scripture has said, lives in the way Jesus said. It was said of old. But now Jesus says, but I have news for you. It was said, don't kill people, but now I say to you, you got to be good to your sisters. That's pretty extreme, isn't it? I had sisters when I was growing up. I don't know that I was an easy brother, and I know they weren't easy sisters. And there are serious things like adultery, divorce, ways of behaving naughty toward people who are naughty to us. And Jesus, in some ways, is asking us to look at who we are. Who are you? And I keep thinking about that baptismal font because we're people, Jesus got wet in baptism. And then he says, follow me. Walk my way. And it's not always an easy way. So as we ask who we are, I do know I'm not your grandpa, okay? But I'm also your brother in Jesus, and we're walking after him together, even though we're kind of strangers. But we're not. We're actually relatives because of Jesus. In fact, what Jesus is saying is when people look at me, you shouldn't mistake me for Pastor Dave. I'm supposed to live like you'd mistake me for Jesus. And you're supposed to live so people say, oh, they're acting like Jesus. That's not easy. I think we better pray. Is that okay? Good. So fold your hands and close your eyes and repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father,
dear Heavenly Father,
thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus to save us, to save us. Help us be more like him. Help us to be more like him, especially when I don't want that. Especially when I don't want that. Help me be more like Jesus. Help me be more like Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, Amen. Thank you. And you can go back to your seats now. Would you all pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in the consolations of that Spirit through Christ. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And all God's people say, Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Choice stands before us in Deuteronomy, which is the second report of the giving of the law. Choice. Choice about either life, good, and blessing, or death and evil and curse. Choice about whom we serve. God, any one or thing else. Choice. Choice to obey the commandments of the Lord by loving God, walking in His ways, and by keeping His commandments and statutes and rules. Three different Hebrew words are involved. They all mean doing what God says. Or refusing. Refusing to hear, which means obey. Refusing and turning away to other gods to serve them instead of Yahweh. Choice to love Yahweh and obey the Father and cling to Him, or to turn away. Our gospel too is about choice this evening. Earlier in the chapter, in verse 17 of Matthew 5, Jesus said, I do not come to abolish Scripture, and he says the law and the prophets. He means Scripture. He says, I come to fulfill it. And then things get kind of tightened down. Scripture and tradition say this, Jesus says, but I tell you. And the bar gets raised. Murder, whoever is angry with a sibling is liable to judgment. Whoever insults a brother is liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you're liable to hell. Some of you you've had siblings, right? I was one of five. Ever get angry at a sibling? I mean, Jesus is starting to talk about me and you, and I really don't like where this is going, and I shouldn't.
adultery, divorce, swearing, and later on, outside of our pericope, our reading, we hear about retaliation and how we treat enemies. All important, these readings, but that's not where we're going to start. We're going to start with a news clipping. Tourist snowmobilers rescued in Superior National Forest, January 23. It's about what happened not on this Tuesday, but on the Sunday before. A couple of sisters in their 70s came from North Carolina. They came from LaGrange, North Carolina. Two sisters, and one brought along a daughter and her boyfriend. And Saturday they went out snow skiing. They came up to Minnesota because they wanted to see what winter is really all about. And then Sunday they went out snowmobiling. Two snowmobiles, two-person heavy snowmobiles. And they were puttering around north of Grand Marais. The text says 15 miles north. The map tells me it's 5 miles north. I don't know which to believe. But somehow they got off the groomed trail. And they ended up in a swamp area. And things were not looking good. It was 15 degrees then. Their boots were bad. They were wet. And their two vehicles were bogged down and they couldn't turn around. 70-year-old sisters, a daughter, and a boyfriend of the daughter. And then two guys ahead of them who were bogged down got themselves out, came over, tried to help them, realized they couldn't, and just cut out of there. Their cell phones worked. And they got a hold, they dialed 911, said, "We're out in the middle of nowhere." And conservation officers who were at a meeting headed from one direction and other conservation officers headed from the other, and they got to them after sundown, after 6 p.m. Got them to the ambulance, and they got them warmed and healthier. The older women were showing signs of hypothermia, but after they warmed up in the ambulance, they were okay. They drove the group back to their Grand Marais motel. The wind chill Sunday night dropped to 18 below zero. I personally think they'd have died. They didn't have any survival gear with them. And they lived. Now for me comes the question. Were they wise? That's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it, my friends? No, we wouldn't be out doing that. At least I wouldn't. I'd have gear, and when I travel for worst case, and I have decent boots. And I follow the trail. Hello? That's the easy question. No, they weren't wise. Now come the tough questions. Am I wise? Are you wise? And those are the questions that we have to face as we read the passage from Paul. What you have printed in your bulletins begins with Paul's statement that he doesn't call the Corinthian Christians spiritual people. Boy, have we started warping the word spiritual. Spiritual, today's language means I have a certain feeling, but I'm disconnected from church. I'm a non-practicing Christian, whatever that may mean. I'm completely baffled. Strikes me as an oxymoron, meaning the words conflict. They don't mean anything. Spiritual. He names them as people of the flesh, not people of the spirit. As babies in Christ, you can't handle solid food. Had to feed you spiritual milk from a spiritual baby bottle. But if we are to hear what he's saying, we can't start there. In fact, I'm going to have to take you back to part of chapter 2. But don't worry, I'm not going to demand you look up in your Bibles that you have there. I'm going to talk with you about what Jesus is saying through St. Paul. He says that when he came among you, the Corinthians, he didn't come with razzle-dazzle. He was not the renowned orator speaking in a pulpit voice. But he says, I came among you not with implausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in, I'd say, God's wisdom, the power of God. There's a discussion going on as Paul is talking about what is wise, and Paul disagrees with the Corinthians. Among the mature, we impart wisdom, but it's not a wisdom of this era, this age, or of the rulers of this age. They're going to die, he says. They're mortal. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages. And, he goes on to say, God has revealed to us through the Spirit, revealed to us in Jesus Christ. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, that we might understand these things freely given us by God. And we give this in words, not taught by our human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. The natural person, Paul says at the end of the second chapter, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Their folly. He doesn't understand them because they have to be discerned spiritually through the Holy Spirit. The spiritual person, the one in the Spirit of Christ, judges all things but is not to be judged by anyone. We have the mind of Christ. And if that sounds like what Paul wrote in Philippians 2, that's because he's talking like it. Have this mind among you which was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not think he could snatch, but humbled himself. Then Paul begins dealing with the problem of church fighting. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, babies in Christ. And you had to be fed formula, spiritual formula. You were behaving only in a human way. And boy, we all do. At our discussion at GIFT before this worship service, I think we were talking about much the same thing. I need constant intervention by the Holy Spirit because we're all too human. All too human and as wise as those ladies from North Carolina. They're not just ladies, one guy too. They're human. And then Paul goes on to write about all these people who founded. Oh, Pastor Duesenberg was important, but he's not the point. Yes, Pastor Miller, Pastor Mork, Pastor Stephenson, yes, but that's not the point. You're missing the point if all you're doing is looking at the pastors, because you got to look at yourselves and whose church this is. Paul writes that, according to the grace of God given me, I laid a foundation, but he points as it coming from God. And yes, others built, but built you into a temple. Because we find that our job is to worship. Not just worship on a Saturday evening or a Sunday morning when, oh yeah, we put on our pious clothing. But our worship continues as we go home. It continues on Monday morning and through the week. We are a temple. And he writes about how the day, and he's talking about the last day, will disclose it. It'll be revealed, and fire will test what sort of work each has done. This is a transitional section as he talks about how pastors are builders, but they build God's church. Do you not know, and now he's talking plural, do you not know that y'all are God's temple, and God's Spirit dwells in you? And if anyone destroys God's temple, God's not happy. God will punish. Let no one deceive oneself. If anyone among you thinks he or she is wise in this age, Paul says, you better become a fool. So let no one boast in people, men and women. But the reason we boast is because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. We are called to be the temple of God. And Christ, through Paul, puts me in my place. I'm the place where the worship of God occurs. Worship that seems to be stupid, crazy, meaningless to the world, called to be insane, just as insane as Jesus was, called to be labeled fools by the world because we follow Jesus. We want to fit in, don't we? Remember when you were in elementary school? I do. I remember early in elementary school coming home crying. And I asked my dad, everybody else is doing this, why can't I? Why can't I be like everybody else? Do you remember that? And my dad sat down and he said, well, first of all, not everybody's doing it and you're not going to. And secondly, you aren't like everyone else. We, our family, are not like everyone else. I'd say to you tonight, the family of Jesus is alien and sojourner in this world because we are in the world but not of it. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are not like everyone else. You are not like everyone else. Jesus Christ says this through St. Paul this evening as we walk toward the transfiguration of our Lord, toward Ash Wednesday, toward Lent, toward Good Friday and Easter. I hear Jesus saying, I, Jesus Christ, am not like everyone else. My wisdom is not the world's wisdom, and you who follow me are not like everybody else. You are salt. You are light. You are the city set on a hill. You are my presence built by me through my workers. And now it's time for you to be even more like me. To be wise in a way the world rejects. To walk my walk of faithful suffering and holy love. To talk my talk in a world which rejects a holy Jesus. To do Christ's righteousness, to eat the grown-up solid food of faith. You are God's temple. Christ, through Paul, puts us in our place. Each of us is the site where the worship of God occurs as we live in Christ's death and resurrection and as we live in Christ. To life everlasting. And all God's people say, Amen. Please rise.